Sports Podcast, your daily fix for everything from the world of sports on First Post.
Hello and welcome to Spotcast, the sports update on First Post. Today is the 4th of July. Happy birthday, America. My name is Rakesh Sharma. Let's get to the news. England bulldozed their way into the semi-finals of the 2019 World Cup, defeating New Zealand by 119 runs in their final league match. This is the first time since 1992 that England have qualified for the semi-finals. Batting first, England got off to another great start as Johnny Bairstow scored his second century in two games. The formidable opening pair of Jason Roy and Bairstow brought up the 100 in just the 15th over and looked set for more until Roy fell on 60 in the 19th over. Joe Root added quick runs with Bairstow, taking the hosts to 194 for 1 in 30 overs. But Root, Bairstow and Joss Butler fell in quick succession thanks to some excellent bowling, especially by the ever-reliable Trent Boult. Bairstow made 106 runs from 99 balls. Owen Morgan then scored a steady 42 from 40 balls to steer the innings back on track. But England eventually managed only 111 runs in the last 20 overs to finish on 305 for 8. For the Black Caps, Boult, Matt Henry and Jimmy Neesham took 2 wickets each, pegging back what could have been a much bigger score. Neesham finished with 2 for 41 from his 10 overs, the best Kiwi bowler on Wednesday by some distance. In reply, New Zealand's batting suffered from the now usual top-order collapse. Martin Guptill's and Henry Nicholls' disastrous run of form at the World Cup showed no signs of abating. Both were back in the pavilion before the 6th over was completed. At 14 for 2, it required yet another Kane Williamson rescue act to ensure New Zealand made it to the semis safely. Williamson put on 47 runs for the 3rd wicket with old warhorse Ross Taylor, but he was dismissed off an unlucky run-out. Fast bowler Mark Wood got his fingertips to a Taylor straight drive and deflected the ball onto the non-striker's stumps with Williamson out of his ground. Taylor fell 8 runs later after a suicidal second run. After a brief comedic stoppage when a streaker ran onto the field, the Black Caps lost Tom Latham, who top-scored with 57, dashing all hopes of a revival. Wood took 3 for 34 from 9 overs as England dismissed New Zealand for a paltry 186 in 45 overs. Ben Stokes and Jofra Archer were exceptional with the ball. Stokes gave away just 10 runs in 5 overs, while Archer conceded a mere 17 runs in 7 overs. World Cup co-hosts England are now guaranteed to finish 3rd in the standings and will most likely play in the second semi-final at Edgbaston on the 11th of July. Their opponents could well be India once again, who are currently placed 2nd, but it is still possible for Virat Kohli's men to leapfrog Australia at the top of the standings. New Zealand should still be able to join Australia, India and England in the last 4, as it will take a colossal change in the net run rate for Pakistan to overtake them, even if Sarfraz Ahmed's side beat Bangladesh at Lord on Friday. The first semi-final between the first and fourth placed sides is scheduled for Old Trafford next Tuesday. Big news from Indian cricket yesterday, but not an unexpected one. A senior BCCI official hinted on Wednesday that India's last match in the ongoing World Cup, in all likelihood, will also be Mahendra Singh Dhoni's last game in India colours. The current selection committee, which is likely to stay till the October AGM, is expected to begin the changeover process looking at the ICC World T20 in Australia next year. The BCCI official said, and I quote, "You never know with MS Dhoni, but it is unlikely that he will continue to play for India after this World Cup. But since his decisions to quit captaincy from the 3 formats have been taken so suddenly, it is very difficult to predict at the moment," unquote. Understandably, with India qualifying for the semi-finals at the World Cup, neither the team management nor the BCCI wants to talk openly about this sensitive issue. Dhoni's form, or declining ability with the bat, has been the biggest topic of debate in Indian cricket this World Cup. He has scored 223 runs in 7 games at a strike rate of over 93, but the stats do not reflect his inability to rotate the strike or strike big. Dhoni has tended to get bogged down and looked a pale shadow of his former self, who intimidated oppositions with his big hitting skills and utter mastery of the death overs. Some have attributed it to a lack of intent. With the likes of Sachin Tendulkar and Sourav Ganguly also being critical of his approach, the team management knows only too well that they can't carry their beloved captain beyond the marquee tournament. A former India player explained, and I quote, "The team management had to take a call in 2017 after the Champions Trophy. They decided they will invest another 2 years in Dhoni till the 2019 World Cup. India have reached the semi-finals despite his lukewarm performances, so he has been carefully shielded. No one can ask him to retire, but obviously he has got the drift that post-World Cup, things won't be the same," unquote. More cricket news. In a surprising development, India batsman Ambati Raidu announced his retirement from international cricket on Wednesday. According to News 18, Raidu wrote in an email sent to BCCI, and I quote, "I would like to bring to your kind notice that I've come to the decision to step away from the sport and retire from all forms and levels of the game. I would like to take this opportunity to thank the BCCI and all the state associations that I've represented, which include Hyderabad, Baroda, Andhra and Vidarbha. I also would like to thank the two IPL franchises, Mumbai Indians and CSK, for their support. It has been an honour and privilege to have represented our country. I would like to thank the captains I have played under, MS Dhoni, Rohit Sharma and especially Virat Kohli, who always had shown great belief in me throughout my career with the Indian team. It has been a wonderful journey of playing the sport and learning from every up and down it brought up on for the last 25 years at various different levels. Finally, I would like to thank my family and all the well-wishers who have been with me throughout this wonderful journey." Raidu was left out of the initial squad for the Cricket World Cup to further dent his ambitions of playing for the national side. Two Indian players picked up injuries and have had replacements announced, neither of which was Raidu. With injuries to Shikhar Dhawan and Vijay Shankar, the Indian team management was forced to making changes to the squad. Rishabh Pant came in as a replacement for Dhawan, while Mayank Agarwal has filled the place vacated by Shankar's toe injury. Vijay Shankar was picked in place of Raidu as the number 4 batsman in the World Cup squad, a decision that attracted much criticism. Strangely, Raidu was listed in the reserves for the Indian cricket team prior to the World Cup. At the time of squad announcement, Chief Selector MSK Prasad had clarified, and I quote, "We did give a few more chances to Raidu, but what Shankar offers is three dimensions. Apart from his batting, he can bowl. If the conditions are suitable, overcast, which we might encounter in England, he might bowl a bit and he's a fantastic fielder." Unquote. An upset Raidu later tweeted, and I quote, "Just ordered a new set of 3D glasses to watch the World Cup." Unquote. That seems to have not gone down well with the powers that be. Ambati Raidu played 55 ODIs for India, scored 1,694 runs at an average of 47.05, with the highest score of 124 not out. He made 3 centuries and 10 50s and has a strike rate of 79.04. He played 6 T20Is for India and scored 42 runs with an average of 10.5. In tennis news, 3-time Grand Slam winner Stan Wawrinka was knocked out of Wimbledon on Wednesday, falling in 5 sets to American player Riley Opelka. 2-time quarterfinalist Wawrinka was beaten 7-5, 3-6, 4-6, 6-4, 8-6 by Opelka, the tallest man in the sport, at 6 feet 11 inches and 13 years, his junior. Opelka fired 23 aces and 59 winners during the match. He will next face either 2016 runner-up Milos Raonic of Canada or Robin Haas of the Netherlands. He will be appearing in the third round at a slam for the first time, having never won a grass court match in his career prior to coming to Wimbledon. In the women's draw, Russia's Margarita Gasparian was forced to retire when she was just 2 points from victory against Ukraine 8th seed Elina Svitolina. World number 62, Gasparian was 7-5, 5-4 ahead when she collapsed to the ground on court 3, suffering from cramping. Though she tried to continue, the Russian, who has undergone 3 knee surgeries in her career, was forced to quit. Svitolina said, and I quote, "I was a little bit shocked. It's never nice to get this when someone is injured like that. It's really unfortunate for her." Unquote. Czech third seed Karolina Pliskova reached the last 32 with a 6-0, 6-4 win over Puerto Rico's Olympic champion Monica Puig. Pliskova, one of 4 players who could end Wimbledon as world number 1, will face Xie Su Wei of Taiwan for a spot in the 4th round. And finally, football news to wrap things up. Manchester City has set to sign Atletico Madrid's Rodrigo Hernandez for a club record €70 million after activating the midfielder's release clause on Wednesday. Atletico confirmed that City have paid the $79 million fee, which automatically terminates Rodrigo's contract with the Spanish club. Rodrigo's departure will secure a considerable profit for Atletico, who spent around €20 million last summer to re-sign the 23-year-old from Villarreal. City's previous club record signing was the £60 million they paid Leicester for Riyad Mahrez in 2018. Atletico's statement read, and I quote, "La Liga informed Atletico Madrid on Wednesday that representatives of Rodrigo Hernandez and Manchester City have deposited the amount of the release clause in the name of the player. In this way, the player has unilaterally terminated the employment contract that bound him to our club until the 30th of June 2023. End quote. This was an expected move, and 1 hour after announcing City's move on Wednesday, Atletico confirmed the signing of Hector Herrera from Porto, whom the club described as a, quote, "strong, talented and skillful midfielder." The Mexican will finalize a 3-year contract on Thursday. Atletico had already bolstered their midfield options with the addition of 24-year-old Marcos Llorente, bought for €45 million from Real Madrid.
Spotcast, your daily fix for everything from the world of sports on First Post.